Hello and welcome to Body and Mind Uncensored. We're your hosts, Kelly
and Talise. Combining 26 years of nursing experience, we're dedicated to sharing our expertise in mental health and women's health with as many people as possible.
Hello and welcome to another podcast, everybody. I'm so excited about our episode today. We have a special guest. Demi is my bonus child.
Welcome, really Demi.
Yeah. Hi, Demi.
Hello.
Really excited to have you join us today. We will be talking about Demi's experience with childbirth, pregnancy, disability, things like that. So I've known Demi for, gosh, how many years, Demi?
How old are you, Demi?
25.
Yes, I have known her for almost 14 years, I think. We're going on 14 years. And Demi and her brothers all have the same condition. They all, well, we'll get into that. But when I first met Demi and her brothers, they were diagnosed with a diagnosis of dystonia, which is a neuromuscular disorder, affects their walking, upper body movements, and things like that. And just recently, we have received full diagnoses through the power of DNA testing. So we'll get into all of that, but just kind of wanted to set the stage there. Demi, tell us about you. We know you're 25 now. What else?
Yeah. I have a 5-year-old son, and I've been married for 6 years now.
6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. So you must have gotten married in, did you get married in 2018?
Yeah.
Me too. I can't believe it's been that long for you and for me.
That's crazy. And then had your baby soon after you got married. And he is the sweetest and cutest little boy. And I just love him so much. He's so sweet. His smile just lights up the room. He's awesome.
Wait, aren't you in Disneyland or Disney World?
Monday. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you guys.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
He got a Make-A-Wish and gets to go to Disney World next week. So super excited. He loves Mickey. So I can't wait to see all the pictures and videos of him meeting Mickey and all of the characters.
That's awesome. So I kind of interrupted you. I'm sorry. So you've been married 6 years. You have a sweet, precious son. And take it away.
So I introduced you. Obviously, your disability is not who you are. That's part of who you are. But tell us
what... Doesn't define you.
Yeah, it doesn't define you. Tell us, though, what your disability in and of itself has meant to you throughout your life, mentally.
Yeah, like, when were you diagnosed? Or when, like, I have so many questions. Was this something that your parents knew right away before birth? Did you know before birth with your sweet baby?
So when I was about 5, my mom noticed I was hanging my arm behind me when I would walk. And we went through, I want to say, maybe 4 or 5 spinal taps trying to figure out what it was. And
Demi, are you the oldest?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you have little brothers at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they weren't walking yet, right? Demi, how old were you?
Yeah, they were. So I was 5 when I was diagnosed with dystonia. So
let's start with you and your diagnosis and what you've had to incorporate into your life and what you've gone through. Then we can talk a little bit maybe about your baby. And do you remember when you were 5 and all that? Starting to pick up, like doctor's visits? And
the only thing I remember is going in for my spinal taps, and I would try to cover my back so that they couldn't get to it. Mm-hmm. As little, that's like the only thing that I remember.
That is scary.
Those would be painful. Was mm-hmm. it painful?
I don't remember.
Oh. It was just scary, and that's what she remembers.
I'm sure if you were covering your back and you were doing multiple, I'm sure it was a painful thing for mm-hmm. you. And
probably, how could it not be, right?
Yeah.
So you remember going in for spinal taps? Do you remember, like, did you have doctor's visits often? Did you get to the school to go to your doctor's appointments?
I don't remember many. I remember, like, little things, like when they would put me out for the spinal taps, and I don't have, like, many details of it. Just remember them, like, showing me little toys and stuff that
to help distract you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you blocked a lot of that out. It was probably really traumatic for you. So you got your diagnosis and we went through life. Mm-hmm. How has that affected you like through your schooling, through your...
So I kind of had my own way of doing things, just like how people would hold things in their hands. I would have my own way of doing that. Or like even now when I do my hair, I have my own way of doing my hair, stuff like that.
That is so awesome. Going through into adulthood, you meet your boyfriend, your husband. Was this like, were there any concerns of passing this on, your diagnosis? Do they know if it's hereditary? At what point did they kind of determine that your brothers had it and that this was hereditary?
So when I was first dating, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, like I think it was, I think that's fairly new, isn't it? Just the whole gene, or what would you call it, where they test your compatibility with your spouse, or even Kelly, you know what I'm talking about, where they can test.
So they didn't do any genes. So at the time, we just thought she had dystonia. We knew it was a genetic thing because her brothers obviously had it. But when we went to her OB appointments, from what I remember, Demi, your OB wasn't really concerned. It wasn't really anything they could test for while you were pregnant. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly? How did your prior diagnosis, before we got into all of the new stuff, how did that affect your relationships?
I mean, I was pretty young and it was hard to go try to figure out how to do things in my own way. And a lot of it I was pretty young for, so.
Was it hard going through school? Were kids mean? Were they kind? Were they accepting and helpful?
No. Blunt about it, no.
Yeah. No, that's what I was afraid of, is that they weren't.
I've had kids mimic my walk at school. Wow. There's just like a lot of mean comments that were made. I don't remember all of them, but...
Which I'm sure doesn't get any easier over the years, right? Just because it's continued, it doesn't mean that it's you're used to it and it doesn't hurt any worse, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Demi was a little fortunate. She had an uncle and some cousins that went to school with her, and they would threaten kids. Right, Demi?
Good.
If people were mean to Demi, they did not like it. They would stick up for Demi.
I love that. That's what we always need, our people behind us, don't we?
So, Demi, so you met a man who loves you, and you had a baby together. So... tell us about your pregnancy journey and your concerns.
I mean, it was pretty normal pregnancy up until like 35-ish week. And then I started getting high blood pressure. And so when I went into the doctor, he had me keep track of my blood pressure. And then he decided to induce me at 39 weeks.
So you made it quite a ways, almost a complete pregnancy. Were there difficulties during it with, like, how, I mean, and maybe for my own good and for listeners, maybe we should have kind of a description of what her diagnosis is and what it means.
Yeah, Kelly. Do you want to talk about, well, it changed. So at the time.
That's not an easy diagnosis because it changes.
Yeah. So at the time that she was pregnant, we thought she just had dystonia, which is, like I said, a neuromuscular disorder where your brain doesn't coordinate with your nerves that go to your muscles. And so they do their own thing. They don't coordinate well. So walking, upper body movements, things like that are slow or spastic.
So does it?
Oh, go ahead.
Demi, so this is a neuromuscular thing. Were there any muscular issues when you were pregnant? Or did everything work well together during your pregnancy?
Like, everything was pretty normal, like, up until I gave birth to him, so.
Gotcha.
During some ultrasounds, there were some abnormalities found with the baby, but not anything that would hint to that he was getting this diagnosis. So, Demi, tell us what they found on ultrasound.
They found that he had a third... what is it called? The ureter or something?
Ureter?
I think so. Yeah. So they went...
So he had some kidney issues and some urinary...
Yeah.
So this was before he was born?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's all that they were really thinking of after birth was going to be some kidney, some bladder. Is that all that they do? Okay.
So up until you delivered, everything was pretty normal. You knew that he had...
No problems with delivery for you, though, right? Like, oh, how was your delivery?
Oh, yeah. So let's get into that.
This is a big old story.
Yeah. That's okay. So pregnancy, you go through your pregnancy. Everything seems relatively good. There's just maybe an extra ureter. Maybe we'll have to deal with that after. So you're going into labor.
So when I got there, I've seen like a lot of different videos before I was pregnant with labor and delivery. And I don't know what the medicine's called that they're supposed to give you at like
Pitocin?
When you get there. So I think it was like, is that the same thing as Cytotec or whatever it's called? No.
Yeah, so they induced Demi a day. Was it a day early?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, and so to ripen her cervix, they gave Cytotec. So that's a pill that they place inside the vagina.
To dilate.
It starts to soften the cervix and dilate.
Well, so they didn't even do that part is what I was going to say. But they went straight into Pitocin.
So you arrived at the hospital. They hooked you up to Pitocin, said you're having this baby today.
So they went straight to Pitocin because the baby wasn't looking good on the monitors, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid. Mm-hmm. So once you insert that Cytotec pill, you can't take it out. So they have to monitor the baby to make sure that it looks okay before they insert the pill. Because if they do anything to affect the heart rate or the spasticity of the uterus or anything like that, it's an emergency C-section.
So the baby has to have strong vitals before they...
Yeah,
they place that pill.
The baby has to look excellent before they can place the pill. So they skipped that and went to Pitocin because you can turn Pitocin up and down or on and off as needed. Yeah. So, okay, go ahead, Demi.
And then I was probably on it for maybe 6 or 7 hours.
Wow.
And all night long they were coming in trying to get better readings on him. And they never seemed to get back to normal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was not there, unfortunately. I wish I had been there, but his heart rate was kind of all over the place with the contractions and not super reassuring tracings. Mm-hmm. So what happened, Demi?
So I want to say it was at 4 or 5 in the morning. I couldn't get comfortable all night and couldn't sleep. So they came in and they asked if I wanted the epidural, and they were taking forever to come in with it. And it was about like up until like 6 a.m. The doctor rolls in smelling like an axe bomb. Like you roll out of bed, no time to shower.
That he keeps in his car on his way to the hospital.
Yeah. The Weston stats weren't good all night. And so knowing that, the doctor didn't try to hurry at all, which really made me upset.
Yeah. Causes more panic for the poor mother.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally arrives, chokes everybody out of the room with his axe.
Mm-hmm. And then they gave me all the medicines and got me back for a C-section. When he came out, he was not breathing.
Oh, how scary. I can't even imagine. So that set panic into everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got him breathing, but then Jay brought him out to me. And I gave him a kiss on the head, and they took him away straight away.
Hard. We discussed that on a previous episode, the struggles with the excitement of having a baby and planning for it and how you think your birth's going to go, and then things change. And we're just left there like, oh, I didn't plan for this. I just planned for perfect delivery, perfect ending, everything. And when they take the baby away and you're left there to recover, that's really hard. I've been through that, and I know that. The struggle. So they whisked him away, right, to try and stabilize him, and his dad was able to go with him.
Yeah. And then they put me back in my room, and the doctor that worked in the NICU came in and gave this whole speech in front of everybody that, like, basically saying that he didn't know if he was going to survive.
Oh my goodness.
I was there by that time.
That sounds poorly handled.
It was very poorly handled.
Let's just tell you this. Like, brand new mom. I mean, you were older than I was when I had my first baby, but still young. That's traumatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what did he say? Was he, Did they notice something at the time? Because your diagnosis wasn't until you were five, right? So they weren't worried about this, your diagnosis with Weston. It was something else.
It was something totally different. Do you remember, Demi, what he said?
I don't remember what he said.
I don't remember all the details either. I just remember him coming in and saying, we don't know if he'll make it.
Just so casually.
Yeah. It was very stressful, very traumatic. After Demi had already had a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Weston's in the NICU.
Ended up in C-section.
It was not handled the best way, for sure. So Weston ended up in the NICU, Demi, right?
Yeah. And then I wasn't talking, so my dad was trying to get them to let me see him. And
what do you mean you weren't talking? Like you were just upset?
I was just crying. And so my dad was kind of being the, what's it called?
He was being your advocate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a good dad does.
And so with my condition, it really affects my left side. And when they wheeled me into the NICU, I was on that side. And so I was like, I'm going to get my hand up there, even if it's hard, because I don't know if that's the last time that I'm going to be able to touch my son.
Yeah.
And so I did that.
Imagine that's, but they wheel you in. And did you go in a wheelchair?
I was just laying on the bed.
On the bed.
Still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is before they took her over to postpartum. So it was right
after the birth. So you're trying to give him a love, letting him know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take you back, right?
Yeah. And then he ended up staying for 3 weeks and came home on oxygen.
How was that 3 weeks for you?
Terrible.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring him home.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember that too. Just the back and forth from the hospital. And I did have a baby that stayed in the NICU. And I wanted to give breastfeeding my best effort. And so I was pumping and then saving it for him in the NICU. And then I'd go and try and feed him. And hopefully things have improved. When I had my baby in the NICU, there was very limited time I could spend with him. And so I would rush there to try and feed him. Like, did you have things improved? Cute little Weston's what? Is he five? Is he four?
He's going to be six in July. Yeah.
Have times changed? Did they let you spend a lot of time with him? How did that look with you in recovery and him in the NICU?
I pretty much went down there whenever
you wanted to. There weren't just like visiting hours that the mom could come in.
Or visiting hours for us. But yeah, Demi and Jay could be there whenever they wanted to.
Yeah.
So while he was in the NICU, Demi, what kinds of things did they say? Obviously, he lived, right? So that fear went away. But for that 3 weeks, it was still stressful because every day it seemed like there was something else, right?
They started with, I think it's called a cold cap or something. Like
a cold
cap? Yeah. And I couldn't hold him until 5 days after he was born.
Well, that's hard.
They thought he was having seizure activity after he was born. And so in order to minimize the seizure activity, they did a cold cap. So basically they cool him to the point where everything kind of shuts down and turns off that seizure activity for a certain amount of time. And then they warm the baby back up. But during that time, Demi could not hold him.
They know why he was having seizures?
So Demi, remind me, I'm trying to remember. After they warmed him back up, they decided that he wasn't really having seizures, right? Or was he?
I don't remember.
Did he stop having seizures once they put the cold cap on?
Yeah, I don't. I want to say that. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot, but
Demi had a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yes.
There was a lot.
So how was that? Did that affect your relationship with your husband, with the baby's dad? Was that a struggle that you guys went through together? Or it's your first baby, right? You didn't know what to expect, but certainly I'm sure you weren't thinking I wasn't coming home with a baby. Did you?
Yeah.
How did it make you feel?
I was upset because I wanted that normal experience with having a baby. But Jay was super supportive. There was a point while we were there that I don't remember exactly what happened, but one of the nurses I was trying to breastfeed Weston and she was rude. And Jamin, jumped in and,
stood up for you.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So a good support system.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's very helpful. A lot of people don't have that. So I'm glad that you did. That's fortunate.
So Demi, while he was in the NICU, what else did they say? Do you remember? Or do you just remember being like, I want to just take him home and getting him home?
Yeah. So half the stuff I don't remember, but I do remember like my platelets were attacking his. So that was something they were trying to get under control.
Oh, so were you like Rh negative?
This is something totally different. I want to say he was diagnosed with thrombocytopenia. Does that sound right, Demi?
I don't know.
Maybe.
There was a lot that he
had. They also did some MRIs and other testing, too.
Let me back up just a little bit. So if you're not suspecting that he has what's the name of your diagnosis again?
Dystonia. No.
So thinking he has dystonia. So do they have a reason for why he's not doing so well or what?
Well, they did do MRIs and we kept asking, like, is he showing any signs of dystonia? Is he showing any of this? And I remember the neonatologists and everybody saying, no, he's not showing any signs of this. I can't remember exactly what they found on the MRI. Maybe Demi, you do. But yeah. Do you remember, Demi?
I know that they did see that there was lack of oxygen at birth, but I don't remember anything else that they found. That was the big one.
Yeah, I think that was their biggest concern, was that because the tracing was so abnormal that he was not getting enough oxygen before they delivered him. But I remember them saying there were some abnormalities on his MRI, maybe some heart stuff. I can't remember all the things. Like, Demi had several follow-ups after he came home. But when he was discharged, he wasn't holding his oxygen, right, Demi? So he was discharged on oxygen.
Yeah.
So he got to come home. But how long? I can't remember how long. Yeah. How long was he on oxygen for, Demi? Do you remember?
He came home at 3 weeks old. And I think his first appointment was, I want to say it was like around 5 or 6 months.
So he went to his newborn checkup like a week after he was discharged, right? Like they have you come back in and do the newborn.
Yeah, but they also had a cardiologist appointment, and they're the ones that took him off of it.
So at this point, are they just still trying to figure out what is going on, or have they narrowed it down to a couple of things?
So with his heart, he had PDA, I think. Like, that and the lack of oxygen were the two things at the time.
So how are you feeling at this point, Demi? Are you overwhelmed? I'm sure you're overwhelmed. We've got this brand new baby, which is a hard thing for anybody, a new mom. But then you've got all the follow-up appointments and the unanswered questions, and that had to have been hard.
Yeah, it was really stressful.
What was the best support that you had during that time, and how could we get a message out to others that if you're going through this, this is what you found helpful, or this is what you need people to do? What are your thoughts on that?
I think for me, it was not like having to do it myself, having family around me to talk to and stuff like that.
Luckily, she and Jamin were living with us at the time. So we did hopefully help a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that is so good. Helped to get things explained from like a medical side too, so we could understand them.
Every girl, like I said, if she wants to, should move home while they have babies, just have people rally around them and help them and take care of them. It's such a hard time of life.
Yeah, especially for somebody who's struggling. So Weston came home. He was actually doing really well, right, Demi? Like, he was making milestones and doing pretty good. And then what?
And then at like 7 months, everything just started backsliding. So he stopped sitting up like he was. He didn't crawl. He didn't walk.
He didn't roll.
Well, he rolled when he was a month old, but then obviously that went away.
Yeah, he quit rolling. He would hold stuff in his hands, right? And he quit doing that as well.
And I remember I have a video of him switching items into his other hands back and forth. He stopped doing that.
And that's kind of where your journey started, right?
Yeah.
Getting him the help that he needed. And
so then we took him to a neurologist, I believe, right, Demi? And what did neurology say?
They diagnosed him with CP at that appointment.
What's CP?
Cerebral palsy. And that can be related to his birth, Could be. There's a number of things that could be related to. So Demi started going down that road thinking that he had cerebral palsy, which is kind of a sister to dystonia. But even then, getting that diagnosis, we were asking the neurologist, is this what Demi has? And they said that they didn't think so at the time, right, Demi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were strictly going with cerebral palsy. I don't remember the timeline on this, but after we got that diagnosis for Weston, we were seeing another provider for the boys, and they wanted to do DNA testing because they had free DNA testing available.
So the boys, you mean Demi's brothers?
Demi's brothers, yes. So we were seeing another doctor and started the DNA testing process. And we got some results back that were kind of interesting. And so after we did that, I can't remember if we had the results back first, Demi, or if you and Weston did the DNA testing at the same time. Do you remember?
No. Well, the boys got theirs done. And I think it was maybe like a month after. And I asked about it. And then I took Weston to get tested as well.
So at the end of the day, after we got all of the DNA testing back, came back that all four of them had a disorder called Aicardi Gutierrez syndrome, or AGS, which is something that we had never heard of. We had to go and research this. It's a very rare disorder, and it affects people very differently. So Demi and her brothers all had a certain type of this disorder, which affects you later in life.
And so do you progressively decline the older you get?
Yeah. So it is a progressive disorder. So is dystonia. They both are. But in them, it was a later onset. In Weston, he has the early onset. And so all of his milestones, everything that he had done, because it hit him so early, it reverted him back. And yeah. So Demi and the boys, they can walk for the most part. That will start to decline. It does get harder and harder for them to walk and do other things. Demi's is mostly her upper body. The boys are mostly in their lower body. But for Weston, Demi, tell us about how it affected Weston.
Basically, his whole body, his legs are stiff, his arms are stiff. For a while, he could hold suckers in his hands. And he would get frustrated because he couldn't hold it in there long enough. So we ended up like getting Coban to hold his suckers in for him.
And his hand-to-mouth coordination, even with the Coban holding the suckers in his hand, he sometimes can make it to his mouth, but he gets really frustrated and can't. He was eating too, right, Demi, before?
Mm-hmm. He was eating pretty regular.
And when you say eating, you mean by just table food, you guys feeding him with a spoon, fork? So that started to decline. What does that look like for you now?
He's completely, for the most part, tube fed.
Yeah, so he has a gastric tube that goes directly to his stomach. He does get some things by mouth, but it's really hard to keep them in his mouth. He leaks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he loves ice cream. And so anytime you can get ice cream in him, he's happy, right?
That's so
cute.
So going back to Talisa's comments about your expectations of what it looks like to have a baby and all of those things, what kind of effect has that had on you, Demi?
It's been hard. When I found out that he had the same thing, I blamed myself for so long and that took a really big toll on my mental health.
I'm sure.
And everyone around me was trying to convince me otherwise. And I still get in that state sometimes when things are hard.
Yeah, it's so easy to blame ourselves. I spoke about that in another episode where I felt like I failed. We lost our first baby and I felt responsible for it. Like I couldn't, like it was my body that failed this child, and that was really hard. So I understand how you can feel that way. Like you did something that you shouldn't have, or that's a hard thing to. How are you doing with that now? Have you come to terms with the fact that we can't control what happens during birth, or?
For the most part, sometimes it comes back to me, but it hasn't really been that big of an issue now.
It's so hard. I remember Demi, more than anything, her whole life wanted a baby. She and my daughter would play with dolls. And in high school, she would volunteer to get extra credit and bring one of those crying babies home that you have to stick the key in the back. We were always ready to strangle Demi because of those dang crying babies, but she loved it. She wanted to be a mom so bad.
Dolls are so cool.
And it breaks my heart knowing how badly she wanted to be a mom. And now she is a mom. And now she's beating herself up because of something that she couldn't control, that we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what they had. We were told one thing. Would we take it back and do it all over again? Maybe, maybe not. But Weston is the best thing that has happened to me. I think he's the best thing that's happened to you, Demi. I know that you have struggles and it's hard because you already have your own disability and trying to carry a 5, almost 6-year-old around. He's getting bigger, and that has really been a hard thing on her back, and trying to be able to do that for the rest of his life is going to be really hard. But he's literally the sweetest little boy, and I know that Demi, you probably beat yourself up, but you shouldn't, because he came into our lives for a reason, and he's just a bright star that we have.
So let's talk about the Make-A-Wish. That's exciting. So he's got a Make-A-Wish coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to be his first time on a plane, so I'm excited for that.
How did you get a Make-A-Wish? How does that whole process work?
I was curious about that.
So we went through primary care doctor and the care manager, and then they usually will send paperwork in for patients, and then they send you forms to fill out and everything. And then they have wish granters, and they'll come and they'll basically set everything up for you, so it's all done whenever you go.
You're going to, where are you going? Do you want to tell us?
Disney World.
And Weston loves Mickey.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
Oh my goodness. I am so excited for him and for you guys. How fun. So will you have the help that you need at the park to get him around and to get yourselves around?
Yeah, Jay's parents are going to go with us, help us.
But will you have the help you need at Disney World yourself?
Yeah. Originally, I was going to get like a powered wheelchair, but we decided to just get a foldable one. And we have enough people there that it would be not an issue for them to push me around. So,
well, I am excited for you guys. This is going to be such a memorable time for you and for Weston. And we hope he'll come back and share with us how much fun he had.
For sure.
That's so great. Well, Demi, what is the most helpful thing that you've found during this process to help get you through, and maybe tips for others to be able to keep their heads up and their chins up and keep going?
Honestly, like, just realizing how sweet Weston is, and like, look at your kid, like, they can sit there and like be so happy, and that can just change your whole mood and outlook on it. So,
just draw on that, those positive moments, the smiles that they have, and one day at a time, right?
Yeah.
I know that social media has been hard for Demi, seeing her friends who have babies, and it's so easy to compare your experience to others, and
comparison is so hard.
Yeah.
Because that's basically how we start out our dreams, right? Is like, we see somebody else doing this and we're like, oh, I want to do that. I want to have a baby. I want to have that. And then when it doesn't come out how our dreams are, that can be hard. Just stop looking at the Facebook. Stop looking at the Instagram.
Don't compare your life to others, right, Demi?
No.
Yeah. I also will do that when I'm out and I see other people with their kids. I get a little jealous, but I like didn't get to experience that.
Mm-hmm. At least you don't have to chase your child around, right?
Yeah.
Or worry about the trouble that they're going to get into. Or
you never have to wonder where he is. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where he's at.
Anything else you want to share with us, Demi?
I don't think so.
Hey.
We've enjoyed talking to you and hearing the strength in you and having your own struggles, and then having a child that is more dependent than we expected it to be. And kudos to you and to your husband and your support system for rallying around you. That's what anybody would want, I think.
Yeah. And
I, I hope that this episode can help others that might be in your same shoes. You're not alone in the world. There's so many special needs children and parents and everybody out there. So hopefully this episode helps somebody else that's maybe going through the same kind of thing.
Demi,
as well.
Have there been any support groups? Have you found any camaraderie in those, or are they just not out there?
There are a lot of them. I personally went on Facebook and we found a group on there to ask questions back and forth, because it is hard for me to go. I actually go to groups, but
Have those been helpful?
There's an Icardi Gutierrez group. Is that the one you're talking about, Demi, on Facebook?
How rare is this? Maybe we can add this to the beginning of it, but how rare is this disease?
It's extremely rare.
Yeah, at the time that we all got diagnosed, there was like 5 in Utah, and we were 4 of them.
Have you had a chance to meet the other person?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's probably through HIPAA, right? They don't share that information, but...
The other resource that I found that's really good in Utah is the Utah Parent Center. I don't know, Demi, if you've followed them or been in contact with them.
Yeah, I get emails from them every day. So,
what do you do to keep your sanity during the day?
I just shop.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with retail therapy.
I do that, but like even going grocery shopping, I like to do that. Just
absolutely,
just something else to focus on.
Yep, I like to get out at least once a day, if it's on a walk or a trip to the store, just something to break up the monotony of being home. And I find that just even a quick trip usually fixes that. Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Well, and it's nice now because Weston's in school full time. So he's there all day. And so Demi does have a little bit of downtime. Before, when he wasn't in school, she was taking care of him all day. And that was really stressful.
For sure. Well, thanks for joining us, Demi. Usually at the end of the episode, I give like a positive quote or something to focus on for the week. And this one I felt maybe we can all relate to. And it says, sometimes you have to let go of the picture of what you thought life would be like and learn to find joy in the story you're living, which sounds exactly like what you and your family are doing. And you're going to go to the happiest place on earth next week. So no sadness there.
Yeah.
I love that. Such a great way to end this episode. Thank you, Talise.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Demi, so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking time and thinking
about
this.
Being vulnerable.
Yeah, I know it's not an easy thing to discuss, especially your feelings around it and everything else. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
Have fun in Disney World.
All right, thank you.
We want to take a moment and wish everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Demi.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I hope you all have a fun and relaxing Mother's Day and that you get spoiled. If you or someone you know has thoughts of hurting themselves or others, please text or call 988. They will direct you to someone in your community that can help. You can also call 911 in an emergency.
Remember, you never know what someone else is going through. Sending peace and love to all. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook.